said, I'd like to welcome you all to Bayside. Good to see everybody. This morning, we're going to do something kind of fun, a little bit different. We are going to look backwards on 2013, but we're going to do that a little differently. We're going to do that mostly through your story, mostly through the things that God sort of took you through and us through. And I think what's going to happen at the end of today, and I think this will be really encouraging to you, I think you're going to see yourself sort of in your life through the stories and the experiences and the tough parts of 2013 and the blessings of 2013. 2013, I think, most of us are sort of honest with ourselves. We would say it was a good year. Amen. Was 2013 a good year? And was 2013 also a challenging year? Amen. It was both. And I think that's the way life works. I think that's the way life just kind of is at times, where there's goodness and there's grace and there's the Lord's favor and His faithfulness. And at the same time, there's things that He allows us to go through that are just hard. Right? Haven't we all experienced some of both of that this year? Well, I think that's what we're going to do this morning, and we're going to kind of walk back. Couple of the things that just sort of, we're going to do this quick, but what happened to us at Bayside? Well, number one, we planted a garden. We produced this big old community garden right out in our field and had a great harvest and built relationships with some neighbors. We went to Ukraine this past year and took a big old troop halfway across the world and did some cool things over in Ukraine. We, as a church, don't know if you know this, we turned 125. 125 years at Bayside has been around. We had a birthday, I guess you would say, this year. We also, this year, built a new church. I don't know if you remember that. You remember building our Lego church? We did that in 2013. We hired this year 3 new awesome staff. That's our director of discipleship right there, Mr. Mark Brookable. You know, he may not look like he's working hard, but I don't know anybody who truly works much harder. This is a hard-working man, and what a blessing. And we hired Nicole, our wonderful new office helper, and doing so much with PowerPoint and slides. And then we hired a new worship director, and Paul kind of officially came on staff with us. And it was a good year. One of the things we like to say, and I think this applies to Bayside at many levels, we weren't always smooth, but we were real. You know, we didn't always do everything perfect, or we weren't perfectly smooth, and all of our staff and we're just not always perfect, but we're real. And I think that was reflected this year. And again, what we're going to look at this morning is really, I asked you last week to send me your testimony, send me your story, tell me what God did. And I want to thank you. So many of you sent your story to me over email, and again, those are going to be shared. And I think you're going to see sort of that picture of God is faithful and He is good and He takes care of us. And at the same time, life is hard and it doesn't always go as we want it to go. Again, Joel, this morning I'm going to read you some of those. First one says, in the spring, our little boy was in the hospital and ER 3 different times. My husband and I were spent. His little body decided to stop doing what it needed to do. He had to be catheterized for weeks and got an infection, which is very bad for him, a recent kidney transplant patient. He was literally hours away from the needed surgery, way too soon following the transplant. Following a lot of prayer, his body decided to do its job, and he was back to normal with, in quotes, no explanation. God has taken amazing care of our son, and the way his life has gone so far has definitely been God's plan. You know, God is faithful, and we go through hard times. God is good and loving and filled with grace, and we have trials. I think that defines much of our year for many of us, and you can probably relate to that. We're going to look back at 2013, and at the end, we're just going to take a sneak peek for a few minutes forward into what's ahead for 2014. Let's open it up. Our Heavenly Father, we do come to you this morning now, and our hearts are filled with gratefulness. God, we remember your faithfulness, your grace, your goodness, your provision, your protection, your power, your providence, your sovereignty, your desire for relationship. We remember that and we thank you, God. You are truly a good, a loving, and a faithful God. And at the same time, God, we remember the fact that we've had some tough things happen to us in 2013. We can go there if we think about it. And Lord, I know that for my family, we've had some challenging things also. And God, we all have. And yet, Father, you've been faithful in the midst of that. So we thank you for all of 2013. I pray this morning helps us to think back and also helps us to prepare and plan forward. God, we just love you. We thank you. Lord, thank you that you love us first and you sent your very Son. We worship you today and pray this time will be a worship offering to you in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. We started 2013 with a series called The Basics with a Twist. We wanted to get back to some of the very basics of the Christian faith. We had three things that we were going to corporately challenge us to, three basics in the Christian faith, and it came from Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to read this text. See if you can see sort of the three basics that are reflected in this text, starting in verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. You know, you only need armor if you're in a what? Battle. Let's not forget that, even though we're reflecting back. Let's not forget the fact that we are engaged in a spiritual battle. Therefore, we take up armor. Okay? That you may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand firm. Verse 14. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Starting in verse 17, you're going to see now these three basics of the Christian faith that sort of motivated our beginning here in 2013. And take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And also for me, that word may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare boldly as I ought to speak. Remember the three challenges? You know, if you're a visitor this morning, welcome. We're really glad that you're with us. This is not going to seem like review to you. This is going to seem all new, but you're going to get a flyover to 10,000 foot of what happened amongst us in 2013. So enjoy that. Remember the three challenges? The first one was this, reading through God's Word. We wanted to, as a body of believers here at Bayside, read through God's Word. And we have three different groups. We have sprinters, runners, and joggers, people who are going to read through God's Word at a different pace. Some people actually read through God's Word in 90 days, and some read through it in half a year, and some read through it in a full year. 200 and some people who wanted to finish God's Word. Here's a couple testimonies. Finishing today, someone said, we are so blessed to have God's Word. What a gift. Can you relate to that? God's Word is a gift. Someone said, I have the finish line in sight. It will be crossing this week. Woo-hoo. They put that in there. Woo-hoo. What a blessing this has been, having the course marked out before me and knowing of all the other runners in this race has kept me on task. See, we went into these groups and we read through kind of the groups and so we sort of knew that there were others who were reading through God's Word in this way as well. You know, the consistent theme from the testimony for reading through God's Word was one word, and that word was blessing. What a blessing it was to have God's Word and to read through it in that way. That was the first of the basics. Second basic is prayer. Prayer. And we wanted to pray for all the saints because of that verse that we just read in Ephesians. This is from an 11-year-old named Cameron. Here's the testimony. I wanted to tell you that I have been praying for the saints in all the nations of the world. I check the chart every night before I go to bed. Sometimes my mom checks Facebook because Pastor Tom puts the country name on there. Don't even know if you ever saw that, but Pastor Tom on Facebook, he wouldn't post anything other than the name of this mysterious country. He'd get all these weird replies. You know, he put like Bougainville. And he would have said, what? Tom Cruise in it, man! But he posted that in it, so we knew that was the country to pray for. Karen said, we really liked that part of it when we were out of town. Wanted to say thank you. 11-year-old. I know in our family, Sayla, our little 5-year-old, was the motivator to pray for every country in 2013. What a cool opportunity we had to lift up these countries. The third basic, was this. Share the gospel with one person. I kind of had figured when we were going through this, these challenges would get more and more difficult to sort of engage in and be successful at. But what we wanted to do is have prayer partners, people we set up that I'm praying for you to share the gospel and you're praying for me so that we'd have boldness and clarity and these open doors that God would provide. One person said this. One great highlight of the year was when over the course of several months, of phone calls, emails, and personal visits, God gave my husband and I an open door to share the gospel with our niece, who had been addicted to alcohol for years. Because of Jesus working in her life, in answer to many prayers, she admitted herself to Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge and received Jesus Christ as her Savior. You know, another person told me that they had a chance to, over the course of the year and through a relationship, share the gospel, and then they invited them to church over the Christmas season, and then received this email. Thanks again for all your help this weekend. I look forward to learning and growing more in my spirituality. I found myself shedding many tears this weekend, and even during the service this morning. These were tears because I have been looking to fill this void for so long, and the whole time he was there. I don't know what things are in front of me, but as I sang today, I felt so much feeling for the first time in a long time that I have accepted it. And now it is a matter of figuring out, with his help, what that means for my life. We, some of us, got outside of that comfort zone, and what a difficult thing that is to do, but to get outside of that and just share the good news of Jesus Christ with friends, with neighbors, with people at work, or people at school. Praise the Lord for our basics. The basics of the Christian faith with a little twist. Well, we moved from the basics to Easter, and at Easter we discussed wounds, scars, healing, and hope. If you remember, we looked internally and we said, what are some of those deep-seated wounds that we've had? Maybe some of us have had them since we were young. I think many of the things we bring into adulthood is because we've had some wounds that have left some marks on us. And where do we find healing? And we said that when our wounds, and this was the key to that, when our wounds that we all have meet Jesus Christ, when they meet the cross, we receive true healing and we experience a living hope. You know, our hope in that whole time around Easter was that people would honestly identify, where am I wounded? Where have I been hurt? And have I buried that, or have I allowed the scars of Jesus, the healing of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, to meet me there, minister to me there, and to lead me to a place of hopefulness. You know, I think again, for many of us, 2013 was, there were some wounds and some scars, but there was also some healing at home. One person said, 2013 has been amazing, and it allowed me to experience peace for the first time in a while, or perhaps ever. I used to be a do-it-myselfer. Any do-it-myselfers out there this weekend? Can you relate to that? I used to be a do-it-myselfer and had a pretty good juggling act until I completely burned out. I became ill, and for several months I could barely walk or move. He's a young person. I began to pray constantly, asking the Lord for his mercy and guidance. Our daughter became ill this year as well. When she was one, she was diagnosed with an infection from which she never fully recovered. Despite our best attempts, we were never able to help her heal. When she turned 4, her immune system weakened, and we almost lost. We prayed day and night for Nancy. Working in conjunction with 3 physicians, we have been able to put her now on the right track. I believe God used this season of my life to reaffirm my appreciation for the blessings I have, including my health. I realized what was important, and I became renewed spiritually, mentally, and physically. I have learned to enjoy each moment of my life, remembering it could be my last. I couldn't be more grateful for the gifts that I've been given this year. The Lord has blessed us and been our guide. I truly feel peace. You know, life doesn't always go as we think it should go or as we want it to go. I'm sure she never, ever desired this for herself or for her child. And yet God used that to bring her to a point, a realization of what the true blessings in life are. You know, when our wounds meet Jesus' scars, we receive true healing and we experience a living hope. Amen? Well, after the Easter season had come and gone, we went into one hot summer. Do you remember this summer we started talking about the issues that people were talking about, the issues they were discussing, and the issues people were even fighting about? We looked at things people were arguing about in the home, things we were arguing about in the church, things we were arguing about in the culture. Here's a list of some of the things we talked about. We talked about poverty and welfare. We talked about health, pornography, eternal security, baptism, marriage, money, control in the house. And we even spent 2 weeks talking about homosexuality. Those seem to be two of the most watched sermons that we have on our YouTube channel. People out there looking, what do they believe about this? But even that was not the most talked about message. From my perspective, people came to me more often with a different hot topic. Remember what that was? TV and movies. That was a hot one. Remember we created the spectrum of TV and movies? I can't tell you how many people are still trying to justify their show up the spectrum. My show isn't not good, it's neutral. Remember we looked and we encouraged people and we said, you know, let's cut the bottom half of the spectrum off of what we watch. If something is not good or terrible, let's just chop the bottom half. Let's just chop that right off. And so we looked at that, and I got an email the following week after I did that. I got more than one, but I got one email in particular. And this was a first-time visitor. I'm freaking out. I'm thinking, what in the world is she going to say to me? She said, you know, Pastor Mark, it was our first time visiting, and, you know, nice city. I have to tell you, after the message, I went home and threw away my television. Wow. I didn't do that. The conviction and the Holy Spirit said, wow, nothing we have to do that. But I think many of us started to think about what we watch more. We started to consider, I had only one verse that week. One verse. I remember talking to the Lord. I said, God, I need more than one verse here. And it was like the Lord was saying, no, Mark, if they can see television and movies through this one verse, it will be just fine. And then he would say, Mark, if you see television and movies through this one verse, you'll be just fine. Do you remember this verse? And I had you all repeat the red words with me. So let's do that. Let's just get nostalgic this morning. Have a little fun. Repeat the red words with me, if you would. Finally, brothers, I guess all you ladies are off the hook with this. Not true. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. That word think about means proactively let into your mind. You know, some things come at us, we have no control over them, right? Some things in our culture come at us. Billboards, different things when you're walking around the mall. Some things come at us. Some things we proactively choose. God was saying to us, when you are proactively choosing what comes into your mind, let it be filtered through Philippians 4:8. It was one hot summer. It was a good summer. Well, at the end of the summer, God reaffirmed what I believe is the key message to us for 2013. He reaffirmed something still believe that this is the most important thing he spoke to us all year, and that was to stay awake. And we moved from one hot summer to one chilly fall. And we started to look at God, are there areas of our life we are getting spiritually drowsy? This was not an easy time. This was not a simple time. This was not a feel-good series of messages. But I believe it was an important time. I believe it was a time when God was refining us. And he was re-energizing us to prayer. One person said, my husband and I were in both services where God spoke to us about waking up by messing with the electricity. If you weren't here, about a year and a half ago, when we started this day rate message in the first service, the power went black and the sound popped and it was just dramatic. And it was sort of like God saying, I'm serious, you need to stay awake. And then at the very last message, which happened this fall, in the exact same first service, almost at the exact same spot in my message, the power did the exact same thing. From what I've been told, the only two times that that's ever happened in the 125-year history of Faith Cell. So God was waking us up and using the electricity and the power here to do that. She goes on, after the second wake-up service, we went home and something happened with our electric power in two specific yet isolated locations. There's a TV in the bedroom above our garage, which is always turned off. After church, my husband heard a noise upstairs. He went and found that the bedroom TV on. Then I noticed that his alarm clock was blinking as it had lost power briefly. Nothing else was affected on our property. And she took that as her own personal wake-up call. Going home and God saying, no, I'm serious about this for you, too. It's not just a Bayside big picture corporate thing that's kind of cool and wild. This is for you, too. I think God was waking us up individually and corporately to prayer. And I think that was a part of what One Chilly Fall was. It was a re-energizing of prayer. And then Psalm 109:4 became a theme verse. It says, I give myself to prayer. Literally giving myself to prayer. Our desire was that we would be a prayer-filled church. Let's go back to that quote. We spoke that many times. A passionate and committed prayer life is a method of staying spiritually awake. Our desire was that our prayer life, not motivated by religion, but motivated by a relationship and a desire for Jesus, that we would be passionate and committed in that prayer life. On December 12th of this year, one of our leaders sent out a couple of texts to a couple other people. The first one sent at 5:14 in the morning. He said, imagine at 4:31, when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was taken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. He said, imagine a prayer meeting where the place we are gathered is taken. I pray that Bayside would have that level of urgency and passion in our prayer life that the very foundations of the building shake in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Then he reflected a little bit and sat on a second text at 10:36 in the morning. He said, thinking about this more, while the building may not have shook, the Lord spoke twice in a very real and tangible way by setting the power to Billings Park on the opening and closing messages to the Stay Awake series. We need to have our spiritual eyes open for the working of God in our everyday life. God speaks. Do we listen? Do we see? Do we recognize? Some could argue that it was a simple coincidence that the power was cut off on those 2 days. We know differently. God spoke to us. As clearly as he spoke to the early church in Acts, we need to recognize it and own it. God was telling us, and I believe one of the reasons he spoke that exact same thing at the closing message is he was saying, don't think staying awake is done now. While we focused on the persecuted church, many people said this impacted them. I know this impacted me. We studied the life of a Romanian pastor named Richard Wurmbrand. Richard Wurmbrand spent 14 years in a communist prison being tortured. He became the founder of what we now know as Voice of the Martyrs. And we were inspired, lifted up to begin praying more for our brothers and sisters around the world who are suffering for their faith. Hebrews 13:3 was the verse. Remember those who are in prison. Exact same word of remember that we use on Communion Day. Remember. Don't ever forget what Christ did. Same exact word. Remember your brothers and sisters who are suffering. Remember those who are in prison and those in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, because you also are in the body. We are called still to this day to not forget our brothers and sisters. Some of the people around the world who are your spiritual brothers and your spiritual sisters are suffering as we speak. That odds are, during the time of this service, if the percentage is pulled out, one Christian will lose his life during the time that we meet this morning. They're suffering for their faith. We were stirred up, called to remember, to pray, don't ever forget. It was one to recall. We ended that with talking about orphans and adoption care. And then today is the day we turn in all of our donations for the Advent for Orphans calendar. And over this Advent season, from the 1st of December to the 24th, we flipped a little flap and it said, count how many running, how many faucets you have in your house. And you went around and you counted that. And how many windows you have, and how many carpeted floors, how many meals would you eat today? And that was to help us think, God, you have blessed us with so much here. What can we do to help those who just don't have what we do? And so today we're turning in those donations to simply help with orphan care and adoption. Well, that was one silly fall, and as I said, I understand those were not the easiest of messages, but yet I think it was very important. I think God was using that time in our lives and in the life of our church. We moved from there, we had one hot summer, we had one silly fall, and then we began one simple Christmas. Now, the name of this, I love this, comes from 12-year-old Abin Makata. She told her mom, she said, Mom, can't Christmas just be simpler this year? And I heard that, and that just resonated with me. I thought, you know what? Can't Christmas just be simpler? Can't we just have one simple Christmas? And so we looked at, how can we have one simply joyful Christmas? How can we have one simply peaceful Christmas? And how can we have one simply restful Christmas? One of the things that we do at Christmas time actually is our Ted the Turkey outreach. We get a Christmas dinner, a turkey dinner, and then we give those to our friends or people we're trying to build a relationship with. Well, a Baysider gave it to somebody, and the person posted on Facebook after they received the turkey dinner. They said, thank you for the turkey dinner. So needed as we just moved in the neighborhood. Tonight, a good new neighbor named Tom and his family gave us this very nice gift. We are going to share it with a single mom. You know, Christmas is also a time when we think about family. Family is something that we are here. We are spiritual brothers and sisters. We're in a different place in the season of Bayside right now. Because we have people that have come from a lot of different places. And like we've all been just sort of put together in this one spot. And God's heart is that we would be a family. That we would have care and concern for each other. That we would think about each other. And it's hard when we all feel like, or many of us feel like we're new. So they should be, people should be caring for me, and that's true. But we all need to take that proactive step and try to care for each other because we are family. We're brothers and sisters in Jesus. God has put us together in this place and this season to be the family. Somebody was reflecting on that. They said, this Christmas, I did not travel to be with my family. I discovered that I am now at home here. I have sweet and wonderful friends, and Bayside has become my family, and I love my Quest sisters. Truly the Lord has blessed me abundantly this year. 2013 was a good year, amen? It was a good year. It was a challenging year. That brings us now to 2014. Well, this coming year, we're going to have some new challenges. We're going to have a new mission focus this year. In August, some of the leaders went away on a little retreat, and we started to pray about, Lord, where are you leading us vision, on a new mission, and loving belief that is where you're leading us to do that, because there are so many areas that we can begin to minister to. We did the same thing last year and really felt like we needed to do the garden. And so we did the garden, and that went well. We did the same thing this August. And as leaders, we came down to two areas that we really felt like, okay, Lord, I think these are the two. But we only wanted to do one this year, so we really prayed about it. Well, one of those two would have been very natural for us to do. I think we could have done it pretty easily. I think we could have done it fairly well. I think it would have been within sort of the giftings and the skill set, and it would have kind of just been a more reasonable thing to do. The other one, I think, was going to be a stretch. I think it would have been outside of our comfort zone. I think it would have pushed us. Well, we skipped that. That sounded harsh. No, I'm kidding. I'm so proud because as leaders, we prayed and we sought the Lord and we said, God, where are you leading us? And they chose the hard path. They felt that we really needed to go there. And so for 2014, I'm excited to say, if you look at the red boxes on the right-hand side and the middle box that's broken, in 2014, we are going to focus on bringing healing to broken people. We're going to focus on how we can help those whose lives, for whatever reason, has caused them to be broken. I think you might have taken a lot of our comfort zone. One of the things I believe this is going to do, this is going to make us all look internally and say, God, where have I been broken? Because I believe on one hand and in one sense, we are all broken people. Every one of us. And I think it is going to make us look internally and say, Lord, where have I been broken? And have I really been healed from some of that brokenness? And then I believe through that healing that we receive, we are going to be able to step out and begin to minister to those people in our community who are just truly been broken because of the difficulties and the hardness of life. And so I couldn't be more excited about what 2014 has for us. I believe it is going to change us for the better. I believe it's going to be one of those years that we are going to look back and say, 2014 was a powerful year in the life of Bayside Church. I believe one of the reasons God reaffirmed that call to stay awake was because we decided we're going to go down this super difficult road. And I think the Lord was saying, if you are going to go there, you need to be wide awake spiritually. You need to be engaged in this because this is big. This is important. This is people's lives. And I think the Lord was reaffirming this need for us to stay awake. I want to close this morning with one more question. Recent years involved multiple losses, deep heartache, tears, along with physical and emotional pain. Nothing has changed. So how can I share with you that 2013 was one of the most wonderful years of my life? I write this with a heart of peace filled with inner joy. When troubling times first began in my life, I believed God did not care about me. This thought crawled into the depth of my soul and into through my life trying to destroy me. Physical pain prevents me from working for the king as I did during the younger years of my life. I asked God, do you love me? Am I your child? Where are you? I sit in the quiet of the night. Darkness surrounds me. I am immersed in the murky pit. I feel so alone. My heart shakes as I begin to feel the presence of my Creator, the great I am. How can an undeserving person as myself be loved by such beauty and greatness? The Holy Spirit is gently quiet, speaking soothing words to my tormented soul. I have answered your prayer today. The desire of your heart has been fulfilled. Your prayer to love me beyond everything in the world, and even the world itself. Do you remember? I contemplate these prayers of years past. I recall my years of joy in working for the Lord. The enemy is quick to remind me of my failings. My God responds with his soothing words of comfort. I read his word. I pray. I worship. The battle continued for many years. The time to receive and give true love to my King of Kings did not happen in a quick moment. nights and I fear raged in my slumber and waking hours. How could I be loved by God? I can understand that others were loved by me. God didn't simply want my work, but He wanted my whole heart. God knew what it would take for me to give up my former love. He alone knew my inner struggles and desire. My Lord wants all of me, every single day of every single year. I rejoice. With a heart of repentance, I bow before God's perfect plan. Thank you, Father, for my struggles, my doubts, my heartache, my loss, and my pain. My life falls short of worldly perfection, but all of the love of God. God loves you. He loves you. What a wonderful and blessed 2000. That is a heart. Someone who has struggled deeply and has found hope and peace and joy in Jesus. Someone who has went through trials and difficulties and struggles and things they would never choose, and has found a contentment at the very side of Jesus Himself. You know, 2013, as I received all of your wonderful stories, 2013 was a difficult year in many ways. And yet 2013 was a good year in many ways. But thank the Lord for this year. Let's reflect back and thank Him for His blessings. Let's even do like James 1 says and thank Him for the triumph. Count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, because of what these trials are doing for us. Let's allow 2013 to motivate us, to inspire us, to seek Him in 2014 like we've never thought Him before. Our Heavenly Father, we do, God, have so much to be thankful for. Lord, it was a full year, full of blessings, full of joy, full of new life, full of your word, full of so many of your graces in our life, God. It was full. And to some of us, it was full of trials, full of heartache, full of loss, full of challenging situations, full of life. God, in all of that, we can thank you because as your followers, as your children, as your disciples, God, we can learn how to find strength in those areas of weakness because you become our strength. We can find hope, God, because our wounds meet your scars. The ways that we can't figure it out are the ways that you come in and hold us in the midst of it. Father, I thank you that 2013 was a good and difficult year. I thank you, God, that you were with us the entire time. You never left us. You never forsook us. You never, ever let us go. You held us, and you walked with us. Father, I pray that we would learn through the trials this coming year how to abide in you more deeply, how to pray more passionately, how to love others more sacrificially. God, that 2014 would be a dramatic, significant year in our life because of the brokenness that we face and the brokenness that we begin to bring to you. We love you, God. Thank you for this past year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.